The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people, on the regular chat? Russ Chifley sends a super chat. He says, JF, did you watch the season finale of Severance? And if so, what was your takeaway? I didn't watch any of the current season of Severance. Severance, I stopped watching at the end of season one. And I know it's been memeing, and so I probably should watch it very soon. I've just haven't gotten time to go around it. And I kind of like letting the shows finish their seasons before I watch them. Because, let me tell you, back in my days watching Lost every week, I remember tuning in to cable TV and just watching Lost with the whole cliffhangers at the end, and you're like, oh, what's gonna happen next week? What's gonna happen next week? And so I like to watch these full seasons. Binge watch, I think, is the best. Blimpy Supervisor asks a philosophical question. Am I Matt Walsh? Who knows? I'm thinking about Matt these days, let me tell you. There must be some suffering, knowing what he's doing, knowing who he's selling for. Have you buttered your chicken, Blimpy Survivor?
Usually, this is how it's done. One steak goes in each breast, and that's it. Right after, you want to go ahead and season it with some type of rub? I'm using a barbecue rub. However, you can really use anything you like and get as creative as you like. Now, unfortunately, this is not the best way to cook the chicken, as it's going to take too long. Because the best way to do so is to spatchcock it. And for that, you want to turn the whole thing in its back and remove the backbone very easily with some kitchen scissors. As once it's done, you want to go ahead and press the breast, and there you have it. We're now able to slide even more butter into the thighs. Oh yes, we're adding a generous amount of butter. Now you're probably asking, why would you add they're seasoning it with some even call the Wagyu of all chickens. That's a lot of fat. Then, just like every other one, I went ahead and seasoned it properly. As once I was done, check it out. These are my contestants. The first one only has this amount.
Is the bleach after the butter or before the butter?
The second seems more reasonable. And the third one is just ridiculous. But I have a feeling that this is...
I'm sure it's good, but if you're an intelligent cook, you don't need that much butter, really. An intelligent cook knows how to use the fat of the breast itself to imbibe, to go into the meat. And so you have plenty of fat in the chicken already with the chicken skin, that if you roast it properly, it will be absorbed into the breast.
And added all of the chickens in there. Close it up and let it cook. This is what I'm left with.
It's beautiful, and I'm sure the meat must be juicy and tender, filled with butter taste. It's a little too much, though. It's a little waste of butter. You don't need that much, in my view. All right, Canadian Member of Parliament Charlie Angus. There's starting to be countries that are telling their people not to travel to the U.S.
I'm here today to say to Canadians to avoid travel to the United States, if at all possible.
This guy could be in a horror movie role of some sort. He seems tired. I imagine him as a horror movie motel host. You know, just darken the lighting and you got it.
Possible. And to call our government to stand up for our Canadian citizens who are being denied their rights by arbitrary detention in the United States today. The Canada must stand up for our citizens and for the rule of law.
He's got a point. You know, the ICE people, they've been unleashed by Trump, and the problem is they haven't gotten the code. You know, the code should be, hey, you know, when you target these illegal migrants, you capture them, and it's okay if you go rough a little bit. It's okay if you violate due process a little bit. But at this point, the ICE agents, they're stuck with, like, the Canadian actress that has a place in the U.S. in the sense that she used to be employed in the U.S. Now, her visa was not valid anymore, so technically she could be abused by the ICE people, and they did abuse and detain her. Marby Dog says, which Canadians are we detaining? Well, there was this Canadian actress who just showed up at the border, and, you know, you have to treat someone who shows up at the border as very different from someone who tries to pass illegally. Someone who shows up at the border is signifying to you, look, if you have a problem with me entering, I'm not going to enter. Now, they did the same with me. You know, they kept me for 7-8 hours of interrogation, full scanning of my phones and everything, when I was just showing at the border to enter as a tourist. You have to chill a little bit. The problem is that the ICE agents, they're super happy because they get to write a report saying, I deported JF. And that's one more deportation in the count of Trump's. So Trump, by demanding deportations, is causing deportations that were not needed also just to prop up the number. And you have to be careful with this because, I don't know, the goal is to affect U.S. demographics in a positive direction toward white people. The goal is not to reject opportunity for tourism and people who honestly will not stay in the U.S. President Donald, see, that's a good news. President Donald Trump has just terminated the legal status of nearly 530,000 Haitians, Cubans, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans. This decision, set to take effect on April 24, 2025, may render many of these individuals vulnerable to deportation. Now, that is good. That is the best I've seen up to now in this whole immigration effort, because deporting the already criminal, easy, but not enough. Not enough. Deporting the people who are already detained and in jail and just deporting them to El Salvador for just tougher jails, good. But it doesn't have an impact on the demographics of America. What has an impact on demographics is if you convert people who were previously given legal status under weird circumstances by the Biden administration, if you make them illegal, now you're talking, now you're denting into the population that's here, that would be counted in the statistics that show that white people are diminishing every year in the U.S., and that is because of immigration, largely. King Wamba says, my late uncle was a local politician who had apparently illegally employed a Canadian worker in his construction business. He spent over a year at an ICE detention center. Oh yeah, it's so inhuman, and the inhumanity of it is justified if you have captured illegal entries. But the problem is they consider it an illegal entry if you drive to the office. You drive at the border, and normally there was a difference between these two things. If you capture an illegal alien on the territory that entered, criminally entered through a deceptive means, that's one thing. If you catch a white guy coming from Canada just trying to enter as a tourist, that's a different thing. But they treat it the same legally. That's the problem. And so Trump is getting deceived by his bureaucrats. The bureaucrats are writing on their report, I just caught an illegal immigrant, JF. I deported him. We deported him with four police trucks. And it's like, yeah, you just You just told me to drive back, and I drove back. Marby Dog says, conservative whites should immediately surge America's borders. Come on, boys. Yes, that's America is a decent place to be. Now they're trying to create a whole paranoia for trans people, and Germany is now telling, oh, you won't have your rights protected in the U.S., so don't go there if you're trans. They're creating a moral panic. Really, I haven't seen any sign that the Trump administration will be oppressing trans people. The only oppression they have is they can't force their stuff into the children of other people. Yeah, that's reasonable, it seems. You're not being oppressed too much. Blimpy Survivor says, how epic of a flanking maneuver would it be behind the Mexican/Third World invaders, an army of sleeper cell agents disguised as expats are closing in? Not sure what you mean. You want to catch them as they try to cross the border? I guess that could work. We need to talk about Matt Walsh. I've been thinking about Matt a lot. I'm suffering for Matt. You know, when these Christians tell you, I'm praying for you, I'd like to say to Matt Walsh, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you very hard, Matt. I know your predicament. Matt Walsh, as Nick Fuentes often reports, you know, back in 2013, had written a blog post about Jewish power. So in 2013, I was becoming increasingly aware of Jewish power in an influence in American society. So you could say that
You're doing a great job here on Rumble. 07.
Thank you very much, Laserfash. I love people who support the show through Streamlabs. Streamlabs is my favorite platform to receive support for the show, so don't hesitate to use the link in the description below, streamlabs/JFGtonightTips. So I was at the same spot as Matt Walsh in 2013, starting to notice Jewish power, and we took different routes. I took the route of independent production in which I could speak my mind about it, and he took the route of being employed by the very thing that he was critical of, and eventually becoming enslaved to the point of not being able to engage on these points. It's a very weird position where Matt Walsh is, where he serves the position of prime gatekeepers for Jewish employers. And as we've seen this morning in my interaction with him, there is a cost to it. There is a cost of liberty. Now, I'm sure Matt Walsh is cashing in. Matt Walsh is a very happy guy. Matt Walsh can live his life with a family of 6 children, super happy, a wife dedicated to him. He has everything to be happy. But he doesn't have intellectual freedom. And I've seen it this morning, and it shook me to my core. The fact that these people are being asked to cancel people like me. And that's a big problem that I'm saying to the center right. You're not going to be able to walk your way around it. Matt Walsh has been for now about 2 or 3 years basically withdrawing every talking point of the alt-right of 2017. While also acting like the intellectuals of this intellectual movement do not exist. And there's going to have to be a moment of truth and reconciliation between America and its intellectual class. Because the way we were treated is inhuman. It's absolutely unacceptable. And because as intellectual, people like me, Richard Spencer, Nick Fuentes, we showed up on the scene. We showed that there was demand for our talking points. And 5 or 6 years down the line of our own cancellation, we're seeing Matt Walsh basically spout out pale copies of our arguments. He's always talking about colonialism, imperialism, I'm fine with it. White people, yeah! Stop going after white people. So he's into the whole anti-white racism sphere, but he's doing so at the service of an agency that is deeply Jewish and that will never let him free himself to the point where he can honestly engage about where he got those IDs. Never being free to repost someone like me, which is what we've seen this morning. So let me tell you the whole story of how it started. It started a couple of days ago where Pearl Davis started saying stupid stuff about Matt Walsh. And I didn't comment much on it. Pearl Davis was focusing on a bio, the Twitter bio of Matt Walsh's wife. Now, Matt Walsh's wife, I have some reservations about Matt Walsh, and I'm critical especially of his position playing the two sides, trying to drag an audience that is racialist, but at the same time trying to deactivate the whole Jewish angle to it, and doing so at the employment of Jewry. I have an issue, but I know one thing, and there's one thing that I've always respected, is that Matt Walsh's wife, his wife is a great person. It is, to me, it is the model of a true loyal wife that if every woman on the earth would be like her, we would save us, we would save ourselves a lot of trouble. A woman who has produced 6 children, has been loyal to Matt, and in fact appeared in his little documentary, What is a Woman? And she exudes sunshine and desirability, and she's great, really. Matt Walsh has a catch with her. Now, she has a Twitter account in which she has decided in her bio to explain in a funny way that she is Matt Walsh's wife. She wrote in her bio, "I'm just here to troll Matt Walsh." I think it's totally fine. It's not something of the level of diminishment of the husband that we've seen in the Alec Baldwin case. Because in the Alec Baldwin case, there is an annoyance in the expression of the wife. There is, shut up, you know, shut up while I speak. There is a cutting, there is a dick, you know, a cock blocking happening here. There's no cock blocking happening in what Matt Walsh's wife said on her Twitter bio. It's a little way to see, to say, hey, I'm not super important. I'm just here because I'm Matt Walsh's wife and I'm here to troll Matt Walsh. It's a joke. No one takes it seriously. And visibly, she is not here to troll Matt Walsh because browsing through her post, there's nothing against Matt Walsh there. So it's a playful reference in a couple. So this morning, I took position to against Pearl Davis to be trying to bring this as a case of nasty female behavior is just wrong. And it's so wrong and so obviously wrong when you compare Pearl Davis as a wife to Matt Walsh's wife. Matt Walsh's wife is the perfect wife, the one that anyone would dream. Loyal, producing lots of babies, caring for the babies while leaving her man free to grow his career. That is exactly what a wife should do. Pearl Davis, on the other hand, is messed up, jumping from one boyfriend to the other, has engaged in unsuccessful interracial dating. She's probably annoying. She focuses so much on her career as to limit her fertility and production in the baby domain. She's probably not a very good wife. So to see her harp onto this little crazy detail of a bio was too much for me. So I wrote this morning. Even I, as a world-class specialist of public hassleery, I take issue with Pearly Thing's attack on Matt Walsh's wife. Pearl is criticizing the fact that Walsh's wife has a Twitter account and indicated in her bio, "I'm just here to troll Matt Walsh." The sentence is obviously just a playful way for Walsh's wife to state that she is his wife. Pearl chooses to autistically interpret it as a public a form of husband disrespect. The reason Pearl's attack is so laughable is the contrast of dedication between the two women to life as a wife. Matt Walsh's wife is a 10 out of 10 woman who has produced 6 beautiful children for him. Even by the standard of an alpha e-celeb male, she is a good catch. In this context, it's ludicrous to point to the playful words of her Twitter bio. Her actions speak louder than her words. Meanwhile, Pearl is as sterile as a Utah desert. Is not a 10 out of 10, has dedicated her fertile years to professional success and unsuccessful interracial dating, and has not shown any ability to be a pleasant wife. She merely specializes in talking about it. She's not doing any of it. For those reasons, the win goes to Matt Walsh. He's the one getting away with the beautiful family. That was a good tweet I found this morning while I woke up. I was still in the bed. Tweet. And I see that, wow, I'm super happy. Matt Walsh has reposted me. And so I start seeing the possibility of, well, is Matt Walsh, detaching himself from Jewish power? Is Matt Walsh following accounts in secret that he doesn't follow usually? In any case, I was seeing it as a positive act of agreement. He liked my tweet, and my tweet was kind to him and kind to his wife. And so Matt Walsh reposted. I was so proud of it that I took a picture of the fact that it was reposted by him. Until cancel culture came knocking at the door. 20 minutes after I had taken those pictures, I see that Matt Walsh has unreposted my tweet. Matt Walsh has gotten the call. This is why, no matter how long you think your leash is under the employment of jury, there is one no-no. You do not promote personalities, even if it's personalities that you've stolen talking points from. You never promote personalities that are hostile to Israel's interest. I'm publishing these pictures to show that cancel culture is still very much operating, even by those who claim to be against it. Despite the fact that people like me and Nick Fuentes have been vindicated again and again, and that at this point right-wing pundits have adopted 90% of our talking points, many pundits are still enslaved and quickly get the call if they flirt with undesirables. So they fear reposting us or even just mentioning us fairly. This morning I made a tweet in support of Matt Walsh against Pearl's inane statements. The details are unimportant. Matt Walsh agreed with my statement, apparently, since he reposted it. For a moment I was featured on his Twitter timeline, as shown by the pictures below. But then Matt Walsh got the call. Something happened about 20 minutes after his initial repost that led him to unrepost it. Was it some of the Jewish owners of the Daily Wire? Was it some Twitterati reporting the false allegations about me printed ad infinitum in the Jewish press? Whatever moved Matt Walsh to cancel the repost, it illustrates something. When you're on a leash, it doesn't matter how far your masters are willing to let you go. They'll call you back when you go too far for them. To those center-right personalities who play the game of cancel culture, I'm telling you right away, there is no resolution of America's problems until America faces the way it rejects its own independent intellectuals. There will need to be truth and reconciliation with the likes of me and Nick Fuentes, Richard Spencer, and others. It is an absolute shame to see our talking points being pale-copied by the latest Jewish-funded grifter, only to then see them act like we don't exist a minute later. America is living on the intellectual credit card, and one day it will be time for its monthly payment. Those who so willingly chose to sell their soul to get enslaved by merchants of lies will be the first to go bankrupt. So sad to me, because he was right there. He was there. It was to the point of being in intellectual engagement with one of the men who has designed the talking points that he is now using. Now, you may think that those are his original thoughts, but the reality is Matt Walsh has been feeling his crowd. Matt Walsh has been feeling ex-commentary and following other people than me, and he's been exposed to talking points that at this point form the majority of his clips. You go on his timeline, his clips are about white imperialism, it's okay that we took America, yeah, it's ours, stop going after white people, the left is crazy because they go after white people. Those are pro-white talking points that people before you, Matt, have been mastering. And the only reason you are led to explore those talking points is that the Daily Wire, your employer, is so distraught at the fact that they cannot capture this audience that they're trying to slowly master these talking points in a way that keeps it a limited hangout, in a way that attracts the crowd, but not to the point where they will get what they truly deserve, which is the truth. The truth about what controls your behavior, the truth about what controls public thought in America, and that truth is the truth of Jewish control. You know, people like me have been mistreated publicly. We've had our entire lives destroyed because we stood for the truth, and we stood for truths that got us canceled. And then you're standing for the same truth at a point that is more convenient for the powers that be, and you are not getting canceled. You are not getting Daily Beast article about your private life falsely claiming that you're raping teenagers. You're not getting this. I'm getting this. And yet, you are reusing the talking point in a way as to whitewash them from their association with the original intellectuals who brought it when it mattered. Because it mattered to awaken people about race 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It matters a little less now because at this point, you are just following. You're just following a trend to absorb audience for your controllers. And the ultimate thing why that is so sad is that you can't engage freely, Matt. You are a slave to something. I don't know if it's your boss that asked you to unrepost me, or maybe you just got influenced by a random guy on Twitter that said, hey, JF is bad because this. But down the line, why JF is bad? Why you felt the need to unrepost this? I can assure you that there's a Jew at the end of this line. I can assure you that it boils down to a Daily Beast article written by a Jewish person, ordered by a Jewish billionaire, written by and published by a Jewish editor. I can assure you that it's all around, that the source of all lies about me on the internet all boil down to this. And so whether it's your employer or not that force you to unrepost, from an intellectual honesty perspective, it's really sad. Because I felt in your repost that you were just agreeing with me. That you were agreeing with what you were seeing from me. And instead of concentrating on what you were seeing from me, you decided to make a decision on things that you don't know about me. Things that you don't know about me. Because, yes, it's easy to say JF killed his wife, JF raped this girl, but it's much harder to explain why the fuck am I not in prison right now if I've committed all these things. Cancel culture is very much alive right now. And you may be under the delusion if you look at the general unbanning on X that has happened and the fact that, oh, now we can talk a little bit about our talking point. But they're trying to bring cancel culture at the individual level. And it starts with self-censorship. It starts with white Christians being employed by Jews and saying, should I go through the trouble of reposting this guy? No, too much trouble. I agree with him, but too much trouble for me. And, you know, society gets better because of people with balls. And Matt Walsh, your Daily Wire cause is is a falling ship, okay? It's a sinking ship. And you have basically a few weeks ahead of you to still show that you have balls. You had this moment here, a simple repost on something you agreed with, on something that was purely about your personal life, so no one can say, oh, you're promoting JF politics or whatever. It was solely about your personal life, and you agreed with it, and you liked it. But something has cut this cognitive interaction of openness from happening, and that thing is the new dangerous and vicious cancel culture. Much more dangerous than the cancel culture of screeching blue hair feminist. Much more dangerous. Because it's a cancel culture for the purpose of theft. Literally, theft of talking points, non-attribution to intellectuals, drainage of all the intellectual energy of the true creators to transfer it into people who are just able to follow. And Matt Walsh, you are a brilliant person. You have the opportunity right now, before the Daily Wire becomes a fully sinking ship, you have the opportunity right now to say, hey, I'm going to show a little bit of courage. And the more I show courage, the more my crowd will be attached to me and not the Daily Wire. And then it doesn't matter anymore that the Daily Wire is crashing, because your salary will not exist when the Daily Wire is gone. So you have the perfect opportunity here to jump off the board and start making money honestly. Start making money with the actual demand that there is for your talking point. But until you do that at the service of someone else, you can't do it with integrity, because you have to follow orders. You have to follow perceptions, and you have to follow what jury has decided was the truth on my private life, which they don't know anything about. Blimpy Survivor says the arm bones connected to the shoulder bone, the shoulder bones connected to the Jewish control network. He says, amen, JF. By the way, anyone know what happened with Andrew Joyce? I haven't seen his stuff in years. I don't know who that is. I remember seeing his name, but I don't know much about him. King Wamba says, Walsh simply lacks the integrity. He's a cowardly careerist at the end of the day. Well, Matt, you have a couple of weeks ahead of you here where you can still leave the Daily Wire and argue that you've done so before the ship sunk fully. Now, if you leave the Daily Wire in a month from now when they're in bankruptcy, and that is not very honorable. You can do something very honorable right now, which is leave it as they are crashing, or before they start crashing fully. You know, leaving a company when they're bankrupt and they haven't paid for 2 months their paycheck, that is not super courageous. But let me tell you, Matt, I know that you have so much happiness in your life. And so you kind of don't need this. You're happy being the little employee sheep of someone else and submitting your talking point and your thoughts to an ideological control. But let me tell you, Matt, of all the happiness that you've enjoyed in life, and I know the happiness of being a father just like you, you won't experience the full happiness of being your own man until you walk free from this. And until you won't experience the full happiness of freedom until you can repost a post by Papa JF and not give it a second thought, and know that you are loved, you are loved by your wife, you are loved by your children, and on top of it, you are loved by your audience. And this audience is not a trick, not a capture, not an attempt at absorbing something that's not truly yours. But if you walk free and cultivate an independent audience, you will be making as much money, if not more, and you will feel so much more integrity in your life and in what you do. So I recommend you that you experience this freedom before you die. that was my message to Matt Walsh. People have been taking the, you know, Harry Sisson and his harem. He was sending these woman texts and stuff. Apparently, you can take these texts and it makes a super nice pop rock, pop punk song. Damn, you're sexy. Like, fuck you hard. Go wine tasting, but that's just me. I think that's a great idea. They have the punk song is so captured in an essence, it can be reproduced with any words you want. It's so beautiful. And it makes you realize just the minimality of the recipe of music. It's a little bit like in this Silver Lake movie where the guy goes into conspiracies of tunnels under Silver Lake and stuff, and he arrives at the old man who's a pianist and who has designed the songs for the last 30 years of everyone. And he's like, everything that you think you know comes from me. You've been excited by this song from this group, that was me. This song, that was me. This song. In the end, the recipe is so simple, but it's mastered by specialists who just repeat it ad infinitum. Thomas Massey points out that the fact that Trump supported the CR, the Continued Resolution of Funding, is absolutely ridiculous. Because this continued resolution is in contradiction with the very executive orders of Trump. It says, let's continue the same funding of the Department of Education. And so, at this point, is Trump just lying to us straight out? I believe it's possible, because he must understand that when you enact a law in Congress, it has priority over all of your executive orders. And Trump stood by this law and he signed it and he rooted for it. So when you say true Congress send that much money to the Department of Education, you can be sure of one thing: that much money is going to be sent, even if you have Trump firing everyone and closing the buildings. There's still going to be a bunch of employees who show up in front of a judge and who say, hey, we need to get paid because that money was reserved for us. So Thomas Massey is absolutely right. The CR that President Trump signed funds 100% of the Department of Education. Had Congress passed 12 separate bills, Trump could have vetoed the bill that funded the Department of Education, leaving most of the government open. We have to stop these mega funding bills that everything is done together, because it leads to absolutely contradictory stuff being enacted. And you can be sure that where there's a contradiction, a judge will side with the Democrats, a judge will side with more spending, more keeping of the money, more paying to these employees. What do we have here? Woman content.
This is for the girlies that always have another guy, like, not always have another guy, maybe I should reword that, but like, have someone attractive that they're hooking up with, and then they stop that, and then they have someone else, and like, where are you finding these fucking men? Because on the dating apps, everyone's fucking ugly. I'm sorry. Everybody is fucking ugly. Not going out to bars, so I'm not meeting people there, and even if I was going out to bars, those are not the men I want to meet. The gym, no one fucking talks to you. I have
Well, yeah, I mean, if you are refusing any sort of interaction with reality, you're gonna have a difficulty finding men constantly. Yeah, sure.
Resting bitch face. So nobody's coming my way. No one's talking to me. But where the fuck, where are we meeting these men that are actually attractive? Because everywhere I look, it's ugly, ugly, ugly. There are so many attractive women and there's so many unattractive men.
Well, maybe you're a lesbian. At this point, if you find women so attractive, you have not chosen yet to make the decision to be an heterosexual. It means being satisfied that the men are pursuing a difficult game. And so, no, we don't have the time to always be cute and beautiful for you, but we are pursuing a global war. You are merely trying to find a guy. So you have all of your time of the day can be dedicated to you looking beautiful. We have to hunt for food, maintain the stability of the family. We have to provide. We have to keep our social status, to keep elevating ourselves and be able to derive an income. It's complicated to be a man. We can't spend all day looking effeminate for you. King Wamba says, the Department of Education is maintaining their civil rights services, but recently received the directive to prioritize those services for cases of anti-Semitism on college campuses. Trump is unleashing things that he probably doesn't fully understand the extent of. It's totally anti-American what Trump is doing. And, you know, why give arguments to the left? The left is kind of right when they stand by these people for basically expressing just very First Amendment, basic political views on Israel, Palestine, etc. Blimpy Survivor says she either wants to invite lesbians to reach out or she is humble bragging without the humble. Yeah, I mean, women have this thing where they just film themselves, and that's all woman content. They film themselves and they complain, and that's just good enough. You're gonna do some views on this. Elon, the K limit. We have to talk about mathematics today. So, for those of you who are not trained in mathematics at the university level, please leave. Please leave. The rest of the show will be all advanced mathematics. If you're not at least completed an undergrad in math, I see Ocean's 88 is leaving already, like Homer Simpson's disappearing in the bush. We're going to talk about advanced math. So we're going to talk about the K limit. The K-limit is a border that exists in multidimensional space. It is the border to not be crossed by Elon's dick. So Elon's dick has access to different parts of the world. He can inseminate a lot of women, but he cannot inseminate beyond the K-limit. So the K-limit is embodied by President Trump's granddaughter, Kay Trump, and people have been speculating about the possibility that Elon could be inseminating Kay Trump. That is not happening, and I will recommend for the physical safety of Elon. Let me tell you, there's lots of assassination attempts on yourself, Elon, already, but these assassination attempts will suddenly become successful if you do something like this, and I don't want you to get hurt. Please do not attempt the insemination of Kay Trump. I've explained here in more detail in that tweet. People invoking the possibility of Elon inseminating Kay, Trump's granddaughter, just do not understand how this would automatically result in Elon getting his ass blown up by direct drone strike, Obama style. See, when you enter the inseminate anything that has boobs part of your reproductive cycle, you must give up on some things in life. One thing you must give up on is the possibility of inseminating a very high value woman who have been marked publicly as cherished items by a patriarch. Trump has numerous times publicly praised Kay and bragged about her quality as a golfer, among other things. This is the New York Mafia's way of keeping Elon away. Kay can never be inseminated by West Coast elites, or else we're going to get some old school action, the kind of we haven't seen since Tupac, is what Trump means when he compliments her. That's because in unsold Kay lies the hope of a stable two-parent family, something that Elon cannot offer. Thus, Elon is stuck forever in the loop of women who have been rejected by society. Broken artists, low-level whores like Ashley Sinclair, who no one important enough would care to mark as property. So Kay is, has achieved too much desirability and has been marked publicly. When Trump brags about Kay publicly, when he appears with her publicly, when he says how much she's the greatest of the grandchildren and stuff like this, she is untouchable. She is beyond the K limit. And if you like, if you want to see a fall for Elon Musk, you know, the Tesla terrorism, that's bad, okay? And it leads to Tesla stock dwindling. But there's going to be a fix. There's going to be law enforcement. And eventually, all the terrorists will be caught. And they'll be caught doing some such grave things that they will end up in jail for a long enough time that he's going to be let alone. But if Elon touches K. Trump, I can't guarantee his safety anymore. I cannot guarantee anything. You will see World War III could pop out here. World War III could begin, because imagine Trump is just cuts Elon out of Doge, stops doing the whole government review, and now he's like, he's frustrated and he's like, bombard Iran now. And World War III could pop out if Elon inseminates successfully K. Trump. Let us pray so that it doesn't happen. King Wamba says she's probably not Jewish enough to interest his loins. Elon follows a bit of a reproductive death drive in that respect. Exactly. Which is also him staying away from trouble. Because if you fuck people who have been abandoned by society, people who are so out there like Grimes, that it's like, okay, whatever, Grimes, you want to get inseminated by Elon, go for it. People who no one cares about, there's a very big difference. Because you may think that adult women have agency in the US, but they really don't. I've experienced this, you know, dating an adult woman who had a oh my God, my throat is dried. I've experienced this, dating an adult woman, and her father disagreed. And basically, you'll find out that they have, with probate courts and how they can find their own child, their own daughter, incapable of consent through these courts, they will get her back. So you have to be careful. There are adult women walking around that are not truly adult women. They are potentially children in the making. And if they are marked by a grandfather or a father who really considers her his possession, they can get it back. We have here an OnlyFans woman. Her boyfriend found out.
Well, I hope you guys are happy. That guy that I really liked, he found out about my job, and he's not okay with it. I guess one of his friends told him. I was just waiting to tell him, because I wanted him to get to know me, not my persona online. So single forever, I guess.
Single forever. Nicholas Petres says, Rusty patrolled. Yeah, I mean, there's so many. There's millions of women being exploited on OnlyFans, and they're trying to get equality male. Of course, you can always get males. I think these OnlyFans women, they will not be single forever. But you're going to have to accept, you're going to get the stupid, low IQ male that's like gym bro, and that doesn't make you feel intellectually satisfied, because someone who thinks will know what you've gone through and will not want to go through it with you. So you're gonna have to date at the lower end of the intelligence scale. You're gonna find yourself with the guys who can easily say, you know, these gym bros who will tell you, I don't care if my wife does OnlyFans, I'm not threatened by this. And it's like, yeah, okay. Well, you are sharing your wife with the whole world. I'm sure you're making money with it. That's great. But mentally, you know. Nicholas Petris says, always have to wonder whether these kinds of things are fake publicity stunts. Good if true, though. Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of these women, they know that if they go crying, they're going to make thousands of dollars in the month, because they're big fans that are consuming their porn. They get attached to them just like if she was their girlfriend. So they're going to be like, oh, I'm gonna spend $1,000 this month to show her that there's someone for her. So I think that it's manipulative behavior. Maybe it's true also that she lost a boyfriend, but it's definitely manipulative behavior when she converts it into a crying video, because in the business of OnlyFans, let me tell you, I know a little bit of the business, despite that I've never consumed nor even visited OnlyFans. But I know how prostitution works, and I know that a crying woman, that is money, automatic money. Magister Templi says, comrade gets disowned. Like you said, they must drain the balls, but that doesn't mean free for all. Absolutely. You have to dedicate your ball messaging activity to a single man. Sarah Fields is the person who is leading the charge on Harry Sisson. She is the one who's currently gathering all of the allegations by women against Harry Sisson. And she was invited on Newsmax, but was then cancelled. She's probably, you know, being probably an ex-fan of Harry Sisson, she's probably not a right-winger. She's probably a left-winger that's interested in social work and caring for victims of sexual violence. So I think that her place was not necessarily on Newsmax, but they cancelled her because she added an allegation to her collection of allegations, and now it's a graver one. So now it's not just about the OnlyFans, it's not just about the Snapchat woman who were sending nudes to Harry Sisson, and Harry Sisson was keeping them on the side in his roster. Now she comes with the allegation of an older story, but that we hadn't heard about, which is that a business partner of Harry Sisson had started this gay TikTok agency, basically. And he was selling the idea that we're going to take in charge your TikTok career. We're going to elevate you just like Harry Sisson. We're going to make you reach the stars. And it was all boys, young boys, and he was extorting them for money and sex, gay sex. So this guy was named whatever, Shamal or whatever his name was, and Harry Sisson spoke for him, because Harry Sisson is on video saying, I am a proud representant of this talent agency LLC, we will manage your career, come with us. So Harry Sisson gave his face to this company, but meanwhile the company was being run by this gay guy who was using it to get young TikTok stars in the 18-year-old, 19-year-old category. So people that look as gay as Ari Sisson, basically. And the guy was passing them through a process where if they were not US citizens, he was having them pay thousands of dollars so that he would apply for visas for them. But he wasn't. He wasn't truly applying for visa. He was just cashing in the money. And then when they were saying, hey, I don't have my visa, he was like, I need more money. And some of them he was extorting sexually, and both the U.S. citizens and the people outside the U.S., he was saying, give me gay sex and I'll continue working on your career. Now, this girl, because she came out with these graver allegations now on the basis of her beliefs and the documents she has collected, and her interaction with these victims and their reports, she has come to that belief, but Newsmax found that it was too hard at this point, that it was too many allegations. And apparently the criminal case around this thing got swept under the rug by then the Biden administration, not surprising. And she raises the possibility that Ari Sisson in this case is not necessarily to be seen as a predator or a criminal, but he was the victim of this guy that was running his company. Because Ari Sisson invested cash in this company and eventually lost it. So probably it's a case where Ari Sisson wants to clean his name so much from this that he doesn't want a judiciary case. He doesn't want this guy to be found guilty of anything. He just wants to get away with it because he accepts his loss. He gave money, he lost it, and so be it. He wants to get away with it. But as she raises, you know, there are important questions. Why, if sexual extortion was at the heart, and gay sexual extortion was at the heart of this whole talent promotion circle, there should be someone guilty of something here. Maybe not, certainly not Ari Sisson, if it was the other guy doing this. But the other guy must be brought to justice. So, Sarah Fields is actually a Republican. Republican state delegate and precinct chair. So I mentioned that she was probably not a Republican from just seeing what she had said, but actually she is. So she is truly engaged in this collection of Ari Sisson victims as an ideological opponent. I didn't know that. A USA censorship scheme exposed. Global Engagement Center worked with UK government and media firms to deploy AI tools. Well, we knew this. We knew this. They keep going back with this news every 2 or 3 months. And it's like, yeah, okay. They shut all of us down. We lost our Twitter accounts, and it was all governments and NGOs and technocrats of all kinds. Just, we have to ban this account and that account. And they killed the internet with this. They killed the fucking internet. European chaos is back. EU leaders failed to agree on aid to Ukraine as German debt bonanza blows up pigs' yields. So that's an interesting facet. Because now that you have Trump detaching from Ukraine, and you have all these European leaders saying, oh, no, we're going to stand with Ukraine. But it's like, if you're going to stand, you're going to have to pay the bill. And now Europe being what it is, which is a collection of so many countries, it's like, who's going to pay that bill? And so I love how just the alignment of the US can cause that kind of chaos in Europe. I really like it, because you realize if there's no central control over the flow of money to a war, that war will resolve itself very quick. And we could have such a much more peaceful world if it wasn't of dirty money and terrorists just controlling the U.S. And as a last news item, Tulsi Gabbard makes an additional release, 13,700 unredacted pages of JFK assassination files that were previously available for review only in person at NARA have been digitized and are now available online at archives.gov/JFK. This brings the total number of pages available online to over 77,000. That is great. It's great that they're continuing their work, because I've been saying that the release up to now has been pretty much a nothing burger. But at least it has reopened the discussion on JFK, and it has allowed people to highlight already released papers that were already existing. And the general consensus that has developed on the internet is Israel did JFK. And we can see it with people in the comment section of Ben Shapiro are like, oh, they're all like, hey, we know it's Israel. You can stop trying to hide it. It's Israel. It's on paper. But in the end, this proof didn't even come from the newly released papers. It came from already existing papers. But that's why on this show we had Ryan Dawson's years ago make a special show on JFK, and he was bringing his knowledge, and nothing that has been released since has contraried his knowledge. To the contrary, we all just go back to the initial evidence, and that's what makes the case that Israel did JFK. King Wamba sends a super chat, $5. Thank you so much for your support. He says, great show, JF. Well, thanks to you all for being here. Tomorrow I have a Twitter space scheduled with some Twitter space people. Now, I told them I am filled with hatred on Twitter spaces. I hate when they are poorly hosted. I hate when you guys don't do recordings. I hate everything about you guys. So I hope they will do better. I'll be on some Twitter space maybe tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Other than this, I'll be on a break for 2 days. And I'm back on Monday. Bye-bye.